Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, the biggest stories. Overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember that the Blitz is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, let's get into it.
This is from Sham. 76ers star Joel Embiid is nearing comeback as soon as tonight's home game versus the OKC Thunder.
All right. What do I think about this? I don't like it, and I never have liked it. They're eighth in the East right now. Obviously, I don't think that if he comes back, they won't be flirting with falling any lower than that to where it would be harder to make it into the playoffs through a play-in. So if he does come back, I think they will be a playoff team, but they'll have to deal with the Celtics or whoever or the Bucks in round one, and I don't like their chances to go win either of those series because we know in the playoffs – it tends to be a rush job for them, and Joel Embiid's always been struggling with injuries. And if he does come back, he certainly will be struggling with an injury. He had the knee and the meniscus. He had to get it repaired. And I can't imagine he's at 100%. They say he's going through five-on-fives, and he's been doing some good work, but there's no way he's going to be at 100%. And I think if you're thinking about your long-term viability as a team, I think you need to be more cautious with this thing. I know it's hard to keep a guy like Joel Embiid, very competitive guy, MVP winner. It's hard to keep him off the floor. I completely understand that. But I think you need to understand that if you're going to be a threat going into the future, he has to be as healthy as possible. And I don't think throwing him out there as a potential 7 or 8 seed going into the playoffs and having to play a really tough series against the Celtics or the Bucks, I don't think that's going to help him with his long-term injuries. So I don't like this. I think it's really dumb. Now, I will say this. In all likelihood, he will be back, and he will be playing on the road versus the Grizzlies this Saturday. So the Grizzlies will get to see Joel Embiid in all likelihood. But I have always hated this, and seeing this news drop from Shams made me hate it even more.
I tend to agree, and right now he's still, you know, he missed shooting around this morning, and he's still listed as out against the Thunder. So I'm not sure he's going to play it tonight, but they do expect him to be back this week at some point. And, you know, there's the Sixers could absolutely make a bit of a run in the playoffs with the talent they have if Joel Embiid's there. But I just think that their cap is probably the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't see them making it to the NBA Finals. I don't think they could beat the Bucks. I don't think they could beat the Celtics. And they would have to get through at least one of those teams more than likely to get to the NBA Finals. So I do think the Sixers need to just be truthful with themselves, look themselves in the mirror and say, do we have a roster right now that can get it done? And I just don't think they do. They're about one player away. An interesting conversation that's beginning about the 76ers in this offseason is maybe Paul George ends up in Philly, yeah, which I think would be fantastic. If you could pair Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid, that is a true contender. But as they are constructed right now, I'm just not sure it's smart to bring back Joel Embiid and ask him to put this team on his back when they are going to be a 7th or 8th seed when he is already injured. And we have just seen, you know, throughout his career that he has never been able to begin a season fully healthy with the full offseason. So it feels like they need to make sure that opportunity is available this offseason. So I don't agree with it, but it seems like they're going to do it.
Yeah, they're going to do it. And I heard Woj talk about it. He says he thinks that they could get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Sure. They could.
I guess the good news of the whole thing is if you're in that 7 or 8 spot, you do get one of your toughest matchups out of the way immediately. But you're probably going to have to go through one of the – one of the two, if not two of the two, when it comes to the Celtics and the Bucks. And I just don't think that their roster, even with Joel Embiid, is good enough to go beat those teams in a seven-game series right now. They need more perimeter defense. They just don't have enough right there. And, you know, I guess Paul George could be an awesome addition if they're able to do that this offseason. But I still think they're a guy away. But I guess the thought process that they're going through right now is just because I may be worried about this offseason and what Joel Embiid's injuries are going to look like. I don't want to waste a year of playoffs. I don't want to waste
a year
what we want to ultimately get to.
We also might have a bit of Grizzlies brain here. Where we're just like, for the love of God, start the season healthy. Like,
yes.
I think we probably have a bit of Grizzlies brain here warping
our
opinion.
And I guess the thought process also is, even if Joel Embiid goes into next year healthy, I think history tells us by the time he gets to the playoffs, regardless, he's going to have some type of injury or ailment that he's dealing with.
True.
But maybe that's part of their mindset right now,
maybe
too.
Maybe so. I guess the difference would be in the past, he's had to be rehabbing an injury, so he hasn't been able to do full workouts like he'd be able to do in an offseason where he was healthy. But, that's a great point. Is the flip side of that coin is, listen, these fans still pay good money. They're good fans of Philadelphia 76ers, and if Joel Embiid is healthy, he should be playing in the playoffs, whether or not they have a chance to win it all or not. I totally understand that viewpoint, and I think that's an acceptable one. It's just from a business standpoint and a health standpoint, I think it's a risk. At the same time, I can also understand the idea that if he's healthy, he should be playing basketball. He's one of the most exciting players in the league, and at the end of the day, the NBA is better with him in it.
Do you find him exciting when you watch him?
Yes, Joel Embiid, I do.
He's all right.
I find him a lot of
free throws, a lot of stuff like that, but he can fill up a stat sheet, which is exciting on the
Who
on
has
the
a
surface.
Better whistle, Embiid or Edie?
Oh, that's a great question. Great question.
We've had to wait until this point in the show to discuss, but what a night it was in women's college basketball last night. Iowa avenges their loss in the Natty to LSU and wins 94-87, and UConn got back to the Final Four by beating USC 80-73, but for real. What a night of basketball.
I can't get over it. And know what? The thing that really sticks out to me is sometimes on the men's side, you'll get into these matchups and they'll have their premier guys out front and you're expecting big games from them and they'll sort of fall short, right? Like Terrence Shannon for Illinois against UConn, what was it?
Disappeared.
8 points, 2 for 12 from the field, and he was one of the premier offensive players in college basketball, men's college basketball this year. You get into this Elite Eight, and every single great player showed up, Connor. Like, every single one. Caitlin Clark, 41 points, 12 assists on 9 for 20 from 3. I felt terrible for Haley Van Lith because Kim Mulkey put her on an island the entire game. She was probably the only sort of star-type player that did not show up in the biggest of ways because she had to deal with Caitlin Clark the whole game. Flaw J. Johnson, she rocks. She's awesome. Her mid-range game, 23.6 rebounds, 2 assists. Angel Reese, before she fouled out, 17 points, 20 rebounds. Paige Beckers, 28 points, 10 rebounds. Juju Watkins was phenomenal last night.
29
you got to
and
see
10.
Her game.
Yeah.
All of the stars show up.
Yep.
And you can guarantee.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
They're going to show up in these types of matchups. That's what made it so exciting last night, is because you go into these games wanting to see, you know, the stars really put their best foot forward, and every single star put their best foot forward.
I've seen this sentiment too out there, but watching the games last night, women's college basketball flows so much better than the men's game. So much better. And I do think the quarters has a big thing to do with it. I don't understand why men's college basketball is playing two halves and not four quarters. It's very weird to me. You need to switch to the quarters, please. It makes the game more appealing. It makes it flow better.
And also, you know, the NBA, the place that they aspire to go to, they play four quarters.
Yes, and also have a 24-second shot clock. It's very odd that there's that difference there. But last night, the Stars showed out. I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed the Iowa-LSU game. It felt chippy. It felt big in the moment. And for the first time, I think, you could see on social media the real impact that the women's game was having.
Everyone is talking about it. Completely took over
social media. It was awesome. The memes were hysterical.
Yeah.
The Ryan Gosling one killed me.
Everyone is talking about it. There's you can't avoid it. And, like, I know that I've had conversations with people, and they say, well, ESPN did this because they've been sort of forcing it at you for the last 5 years and throwing it at you as much as possible. But, yeah, you can say that, and I think ESPN has played their part in it. But I think what really has played the biggest role in all of this is you have really good players, really talented players that have personalities at the top of the sport.
Yep.
And when you look at Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark – compared to the men's game, like, I don't know if there are men's players that are on that same level of celebrity that they are.
Who would you say are the top two players in college basketball right now?
Zach Edey would probably be up there, and outside of that, who are we looking at, really?
I don't know. Is it Klingon?
I'm saying the women's game and the star power in the women's game outdoes the men's game right
100%.
Now by a lot, by a fair amount.
To be quite honest, one way that you can think about it is that I know what the voices sound like of all of those women that you just listed off.
Right.
I know Zach Edey's voice. Couldn't tell you what the rest of them sound like.
Exactly. Now, I want to bring this up because I saw a lot of we know Angel Reese is a polarizing figure.
Sure.
But she talked about it after the game, and she was in tears, and she just – I understand people will say, well, she lost, so now she's, you know, playing a little bit of the victim. I didn't really view it that way, but – she talked about her mental state and how she hasn't really had fun since last national championship when they won against Iowa because she gets absolutely drilled by people, picked on by people. She's been sexualized. Remember the AI thing
just a few weeks ago, yeah.
She's talked about that. She's talked about getting death threats and everything else. And what I sort of viewed it as is Angel Reese tried to put on and be the villain and tried to be, like, a tough person through all of that. And on the back end, she realized that it just didn't quite work for her mental state the way she thought it would. She tried to be strong through the whole thing, but it's hard to be strong when people – I mean, because let's be honest, she gets gone after a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because people don't necessarily like the personality she's putting out there. But I feel like that personality at times was a little bit of a coping device for her.
Maybe. And I just don't subscribe to the idea of, you know, well, she posts pictures and she does ads for Calvin Klein and stuff, so she brings it upon herself.
I saw people talking about the most ridiculous comment. When she said she's been sexualized, people are posting her her professional Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition photo shoot. And they're saying, oh, well, you sexualized. Are you kidding me? Name one person in this world who would not go do the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition
if they were given that opportunity. That is also her decision that she made for herself to put her body out there.
But how sad is that immediately someone says, oh, you're in a swimsuit for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Right.
You've sexualized yourself.
Well, someone trying to use that as an excuse to justify an AI video of her or people.
Yes.
You know, I saw today people posting about, like, searching for nude photos of all of these women. And it's like, y'all have got to get out of this brain rot that has happened to you. It's dangerous, and I am also not down for a lot of people have said, well, one way that you know a women's sport has arrived is that the players get talked about the same way as men, and men have to deal with this, and men get written the same way as the LA Times and stuff. And I'm just like,
That's not true at all.
In 2024, that is not happening to men, and can we be honest about it? It should have never happened. I'm not down for, well, this happened in the past, so it means you have arrived because people are S-posting about you and trolling you and stuff. It's like, that doesn't need to be a part of sports. Like, we don't have to justify that behavior just because of fandom and sports. It's ridiculous. ridiculous.
Men have to deal with death threats, and men have to deal with all these things, and they have to deal with criticism, and the women are starting to see that. But it's different for women with the sexualization. And like, name one time where you've seen Zach Edey get an AI video of him where they're showing his private parts.
Right.
That doesn't happen to men. It just doesn't.
And I just, I am not down for it.
That is disgusting. There's disgusting things that happen to women who are in sports.
And I'm just...
And I'm tired of people trying to rationalize it by doing the whole, oh, well, men have had to deal with this for years, for eons. Well, women are starting to deal with it at the college level, but it's worse. It's just substantially worse.
If women's sports want to be on the big stage, they're going to have to deal with things like this. No. No. That's quite ridiculous.
Shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to... She shouldn't have to worry about a picture that she had in the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition getting AI'd to where her chest is out. She shouldn't have to deal with that.
No.
No.
Nobody should have to
deal with that. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, and people are trying to rationalize it, and I'm not having it.
No.
I'm not having
it. It's such a silly conversation to have.
In the end of the day, besides that point, last night was phenomenal for women's basketball at large.
Well,
it was phenomenal.
And your girl, Juju, you've been on her all season.
She's awesome.
She's awesome.
She's
awesome.
And what cracks me, I was trying to like find like an NBA comp. Like, she's 6'1", so she could be like a forward, and she could, you know, get into the post and bully some of these girls. But she can handle the ball. She tries to get her teammates involved. I was like, is this the Luka Doncic of women's college basketball right here? Because she has that type of game. Handles are ridiculous, and she's only a freshman. You have to remember that.
Yeah, I saw someone mention Melo, and I was like, that's
Melo's
not bad.
Melo's
a good
one, too.
Not bad at all. She passes a little bit.
You literally pinpointed my only issue with the Melo comp is because I'm like, she tried to get her teammates involved almost to a fault because I don't think her teammates are very good.
It was awesome. But last night was just, I enjoyed watching those games more than I've enjoyed most of the men's tournament.
Okay.
Easily.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think I would.
Like, if we were even doing the grades
the
last few days.
That was an A plus. Not enough pluses to explain how good that was for college basketball, for women's college basketball last night. But let's go ahead and transition and get up out of here. We have the Rewind coming up right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.